Okay.
Got it. Fine.
She's very good at it.
All right, it's an amazing schluss to be back here. Last time we were together was preparing for the Heilig Yontif of Pesach, and now we're already almost a week after Pesach has ended. First of all, before we begin, just to always thank the Shriers, to Sarit, to Eliza, to Mishpacha, for opening up their bias to Torah on Erev Shabbos Kodesh, and it should be a big schluss for the entire Mishpacha, only for Simcha and for Bracha, Bez Hashem.
Amen.
So Pesach is less than a week ago, but seems like so far away. Hopefully we still have a little bit of Pesach with us. Hopefully Pesach was inspiring, was spiritual, was relaxing as well. In this past week, this past Wednesday, I went to the airport to pick up my grandmother, my Safta, from the airport. And when I picked her up, we were in the car, we were talking. She was with us. The first days of Pesach was very beautiful. Then she went to be with the rest of my family in Florida. And she stayed a few extra days, and she was telling me how she was there. And one morning, my nieces and nephews were having breakfast, and she saw them eating cereal, and it didn't look like your typical Pesach cereals, you know? I don't know if any of us still eat those Pesach cereals, if you could call them that even. It looked like, it looked actually like real cereal. And she starts looking at the box, and she finds the OU, and maybe it was OUD or whatever it was, and she doesn't see anywhere where it says kosher for Pesach. And she started to get nervous, because it really looked good, and she couldn't find any kosher for Pesach on the box. What's going on? And my father was there. She says to my father, "What's going on?" It's, "I can't find any kosher for Pesach on the box." And my father looks at her, and is like, "Pesach ended last night." She obviously knew, obviously, but she, you wake up in the morning, you're not thinking, you're used to Pesach for a week. And she was a little confused. If you know my Safti, you'd understand. But Lameisa, I took it in a way, after hearing that from her, in such a beautiful way, in the sense that she was trying, perhaps, maybe a little bit deep, I'm looking into the story, but to keep Pesach with her, and to continue Pesach going. And therefore, to her, it was still Pesadik. It was still Pesadik. How can you be eating chametz now? That's how she felt a little bit. And obviously, all of us were probably very excited to have chametz, Matzah Shabbos, Matzah Pesach, and run to get pizza or whatever it was. And that's okay. But hopefully, we weren't running away from Pesach. And hopefully, Pesach, the geula of Pesach, the spiritual geula of Pesach, the enlightenment of Pesach, the emuna that we built with the Rabbanu Shalom Pesach is still with us in a very strong way. And sometimes, of all the Yom Tov, I always feel like Pesach might be, in a certain way, a little bit easier to carry with us, because we go straight into Yom Svira. And the days of Svira, so Omer, are supposed to be on some level in continuation of Pesach. The Ramban in Parshas Emor tells us that really Pesach and Shavuos is one long Yom Tov. And Sfiras Omer is the Chol HaMoed of the Yontif. Right? Yontif, you always have the first day of the Yontif, the last day of the Yontif, and you have Chol HaMoed in the middle. But Pesach are the first day of the Yontif, Shavuos is the last day of the Yontif, and Sfiras Omer is Chol HaMoed. How so? It's all one big Yontif of Cheres, of freedom. On Pesach, we celebrate the physical freedom. On Shavuos, we receive the Torah, which is the ultimate spiritual freedom, to allow us to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the proper ways. But Emes, I still want to talk about how we could keep Pesach with us a little bit. Especially during these Yimei Svira. So thinking about it, some of what I shared tonight, I had this chus to tell over by Sudas Mashiach. I don't know how many of us partook in Sudas Mashiach. Sudas Mashiach is the final Suda of Pesach. It's also known as the Sudas Baal Shem Tov. It's also known as the Sudas Hagra, Ne'ilas Achag, Shal HaShodes this year. A lot of names, which tells us it's very, very holy, because the name is supposed to capture the essence of that which it is. So if this Suda has so many names, it means it has so many kochos to it. But that Suda is the final Suda of Pesach, and that's what we have to take with us into the year in a certain sense. So I was thinking about it, you know, leaving Pesach, leaving any Yontif, being involved in the Yontif is obviously very inspiring, I hope. And it's a time when it's easier to be closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, easier to feel closer to Yiddishkeit, a little bit disconnected from the physical mundane world. And in a certain way, being with Yontif, I want to say, is a little bit like having this chus to be together with a Rebbe. Yontif is our Rebbe. What do I mean by that? When you're with a Rebbe, it doesn't have to be a Rebbe, it could be a Rebbetzin as well, I don't mean that in a male version, somebody that is a role model to you, that's inspiring to you, that is teaching you right from wrong, reminding you what's ikker, what's tafel, what's important in life, and what shouldn't be important in life. So when you're with that inspiring personality, that Rebbe, that Rebbetzin, whether it's somebody you're very close to, whether it's a gadol that you're just visiting, it's very inspirational, and it has an effect, it influences you, it has ashpa on you. And you feel like a different person. And you feel like you're going to serve Hashem in a different way. And same could be said for a yontif. A yontif is a time when it's a little more conducive, a little easier, we're reminded what's important in life, we're reminded, we gain hisoris, we gain inspiration, and we raise ourselves up. So being with Yontif for a week is a little bit being like with our Rebbe for a week. And therefore leaving Yontif and entering into the week that we did this week is a little bit like leaving our Rebbe. And when you leave the Rebbe, you leave the Rebbetzin, you leave whoever it is that was inspiring you, you hope that leaving that individual and therefore leaving Yontif doesn't mean that you leave all that inspiration behind. The goal is to take it all with us. The goal is to be raised up and then continue on from that point and not to fall back down. So I want to learn together Gemara, actually. You have it here on the Makorah sheets that we handed out. And we have, I put here even the English that you could take home with you. I'm assuming most of you don't learn Gemara too often. So this way, if you want to give it over and you want to Chazer it, you have the English here as well. See, when I put Psukim, I don't put the English because I assume you're holding in Psukim. When it comes to Tanakh, women have to be holding in Tanakh. In the Gemaras, you don't have to be holding in. But there are Gemaras that we have to learn to be inspired by. So the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. It's at the bottom of the page, Brachos, Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. It happens to me, it's very interesting, because Brachos, Yud Zayin Amud Aleph happens to be the Daf Gemara earlier on the page, I'm not going to go through the whole Gemara, of where we learn that Chometz is a remez, is a symbolism of the Yetzer Hara. On that same daf. So we're learning about leaving the Yontif of Pesach, and what should we take away from Pesach, from that same daf, of that inspiration of staying away from the Chometz of Pesach. The Gemara here that we're going to learn talks about Talmidim leaving their Rebbe. And that's what we need to learn. How to leave Pesach in a way that we keep it all with us. So the Gemara says, if you look inside on the front of the sheet, Ki ave miftere rabbanim mi beirav ami ve'amrile mi beirav chanina. When the rabbanon, which who were the talmidim, the students of Rav Ami, and some say from Rav Chanina, Ki ave miftere, when they would leave the Beis Medrash, they'd leave their Rebbe. Amrile hachi, they'd say the following. There are different Rishonim, whether they said this to each other or they said this to the Rebbe. This is what they'd say. Very beautiful bracha. They'd wish each other, they wish the Rebbe, a very beautiful bracha, which would be the bracha of what the lingering taste should be after spending time with the Rebbe. Which should be our lingering taste after spending time with the Yontif of Pesach. So Amr Lehachi, they say the following. First of all, Olamecha Tira B'chayecha. Literally, may you see your world in your life. Rashi explains what that means is, in your lifetime, you should see everything that you need. Basically, a bracha that Hashem should provide for you, everything that you want and everything that you need in this world. In the end, you should end up in a life of Olam Haba. And your hope should be forever and ever. Which is referring, the Marsha says, to a life of Olam Haba and a life of Mashiach. Yishbizoich Mashiach. Libcha yege tfuna. Your heart should understand and meditate with deep understandings. Obviously in Torah. Picha yedaber chachmos. Your mouth should speak wisdom. V'lishon chayarchish runenos. And your tongue should sing songs. All this is talking about the beauty of singing and learning Torah. Very beautiful brachas. Having everything in this world. Having Olam Haba. So far everything is very beautiful, right? The next few lines, the next few words are very strange. Afafecha yashiru negdecha. Your eyelids should look directly opposite you. Afafecha yashiru negdecha. Very, very strange. That part of the bracha is very, very strange. Einecha yairu b'ma'or Torah. Your eyes should shine with the light of Torah. Ufanecha yaziru kizor akia. Your face should shine, should radiate like the heavens. Sitzosecha yabiyu das, your lips should always be speaking knowledge. V'chilyosecha taloizna meisharim, your insides, your kidneys should rejoice. That means you should have a deep simcha. Even your inside, you should always be besimcha, not just on the outside, but on the inside. Upamecha yirutzu lishmo divrei atik yoman, and your feet should run to hear the old words, which is referring to Torah. So if you paid attention to everything we just learned, the whole bracha is a very beautiful bracha. A beautiful way to leave a Rebbe's house, to leave a time of learning, a time of inspiration. The few words, Afafecha yashira negdecha. Your eyelids should see in front of you. What is that talking about? First of all, last time I checked, when our eyelids are being used, which means our eyes are closed, we see nothing. I mean, when our eyelids are open, there's no purpose to them. The purpose of the eyelid is to close our eyes. So Afafecha yashira negdecha. Your eyelids should be straight in front of you. What does that mean? And why is that a bracha here when we leave the Rebbe? Now before we start to answer this, I want to just point out, it's tremendous hashkacha, and there's no coincidence that the two Rabbeim that were being left here is Rav Ami and Rav Chanina. Because as we started out the shir, we explained that leaving a Rebbe is like leaving a Yontav is like leaving a Rebbe, right? Ami is Rashi Tevos, Eile Moedei Hashem. Eile Moedei Hashem. These are the Moedim of Hashem. Chanina is Gematria 119. 119 is Gematria Tam, a taste. When you're in Yontav, you're tasting the beauty of the Rabbon Hashem, the beauty of Yiddishkeit. So maybe, B'derech Terush, just first of all, before we even explain, Afafecha Yeshir Negdecha, we see this Gemara talking about Talmidim leaving their Rebbe. It's also obviously therefore teaching us how to leave Yontav. And it's hinted to in specifically Rav Ami. Ami, which is Eile Moedei Hashem. And Chanina, which is Gematria Tam, the taste of Yontav. The taste of Matzah still on our lips, which we'll get to. Mir Tashem. So what's Afafecha Yashira Negdecha? Let's understand. You have to stay with me. We're going to develop something very beautiful. Chassam Sofer explains, and if you turn to the back of the sheet, that there was a bracha, we all know there were brachas that Yaakov Avinu gave all the Shvatim. And Yaakov Avinu gave a bracha to Yosef HaTzadik, Ben Parat, Yosef Ben Parat, Alei Ayin. Maybe some of you know those words. Yosef Karduna wrote a song many years ago to it. You could look it up. Maybe not during Yimei Sfira, you look it up after Sfira, after Lag Boimer. So you give the bracha Alei Ayin. So Chassam Sofer says on those, we're not even going to get into even Pashup Shat in this bracha. It's very difficult to understand exactly what it means for another time. But what is Alei Ayin? The Chassam Sofer says, Alei Ayin, our Rashi Tevos, the very next source over here in the Pasuk in Mishlei, that Yaakov Avinu was giving a bracha to Yosef HaTzadik that, Einecha Lenoach Yabitu. Einecha, your eyes, lenoach yabitu, should stare in front of you, should always see everything in front of you, which is a sense of a bracha of understanding and clarity that one should have. You should always see and understand everything in front of you. And what's the end? Ve'afafecha yashiru negdecha. Exactly the same words. And your eyelids should be straight in front of you. Ale, ayin lamed yud, einecha lenoach yabitu, ayin afafecha yashiru negdecha. Interesting, your eye is Rashi Tevos, that your eyelids should be able to see in front of you. Even though our eyes are what could see and our eyelids are what shut our eyes, right? But somehow we see this bracha of Einecha, Lenoi Chabitu, Afecha, Yashir, Negdecha is given to Yosef HaTzadik. How's Yosef HaTzadik? What bracha is there in Yosef HaTzadik that we can understand through the eyelids and the eyes? So listen closely, you ready? Bring this all together. The Kashan Tzermagid says, Kashan Tzermagid is such a beautiful idea. The Kashan Tzermagid says that when our eyes are open, that represents a time of clarity in the world. It represents where you see things and you understand things. And you have a giloy, you have a revelation of Shechina, of the Rabbeinu Shalom. The eyelids, as we explained already, it represent the closing of the eyes. The eyelids represent when the world is dark. The eyelids represent when things are not so clear. The eyelids represent when there's confusion in the world. Because that's when my eyes are closed. When I'm going through a difficulty. When I'm going through a tragedy, lo aleinu. Like Klal Yisrael and our community had over this yontif, which was a yontif, and we'll get back to that, but it was a yontif full of tragedy. Where you could have a family enjoying a beautiful, beautiful Seder, Lel Seder, first night. We all year long, look forward to Lel Seder. There's no yid in the world that doesn't look forward to Lel Seder. We all look forward to Lel Seder. And a family enjoying Lel Seder with their beautiful three-month-old baby, child, grandchild, who's at the Seder, mamish, all Seder long till Shulchan Aruch. And then go and put the baby, a completely healthy baby, to sleep. And a few hours later, when the Seder is over, find out, go up, and the baby is found not breathing and ultimately passed away. There are no words. I went to pay a shiva call today. There are no words for such a tragedy. That's when our eyes are shut. We can't understand. For our community and the world as a whole to go through a tragedy of a chassan and kala killed days after becoming a chassan and kala in such a tragic, terrible way. Can't even comprehend, we can't even understand. There are no words. Afafecha yashi, afafecha. Our eyelids are completely closed. Sometimes our eyelids are completely closed. Today was Yom HaShoah. Today was Yom HaShoah, the Holocaust, 6 million Jews. There are no words. Our eyelids are closed. Our eyes are closed with our eyelids. But the Kashan Tzermagid says, so our eyes, when our eyes are open, our eyes wide open, represents when there's clarity, when things are good, when we see Hashem in our life, when we understand Hashem in our life. And our eyelids being closing over our eyes represents times of choshech, times of darkness, times of tragedy, times of difficulty. But the bracha to Yosef HaTzadik that Yaakovina was giving was Ali Ayin, of not just Einecha L'noach Yabitu, not just your eyes should be open in front of you, but Afafecha Yashiru Negdecha, your eyelids should be straight in front of you. Yashar. Yashiru. They should be yashar. It should be straight. You should have no confusion and not be crooked even when the eyelids are covering the eyes. Meaning, not that you necessarily have the answer. It's still covered over. I don't have any explanation. But I'm still yashar. I'm still straight. I still have emunah. I still have bitachon. Even in the darkest of times, I know that it's baruch dayan emes. I know that it's yashar. I know that it's straight, I know that it's right. It might not be good, but it's right. My Rebbe Rav Blachman always used to explain to us there's a difference between toiv v'ra, good and bad, and emes v'sheker, what's true and false. Tov v'ra is subjectivity. What I see is good, what I see is bad. Emes v'sheker is truth. You're in your sukkah and there's a bee flying around in the sukkah. And you go and you kill the bee because you're afraid of the bee. Or maybe not you, maybe your father, your brother, whoever, you know, you're jumping out of the sukkah. So now that bee was killed. Was that a good act? Was that a bad act? So to you, it's a very good act. To the bee's mother, that was a terrible act, right? So it's all based on your point of view. It's all based on your viewpoint. That's tovara, subjective. MS means it's right. It doesn't matter how we see it. Something could be terrible, but it's still MS. The tragedies that we just described are raw in our eyes. Nobody here could say they're tov. They're raw. They're terrible. Terrible tragedies that nobody should know from. But it's still MS. It's still MS. It's still true. It's still yashar. We say baruch dayan MS. We don't say baruch tov ameitiv lo aleinu when someone passes away. But we know it's MS. It's yashar. It's straight. It's right. And with that feeling, we can move on. With that feeling, I could be strong. With that feeling, I could be close to Hashem, no matter what is going on in my life. You know, talking Yom HaShoah, the Holocaust. Thank you so much. There was a big tzaddik that I'm sure you've read about, I'm sure you've heard about. The Kleisenberger Rebbe Zatzal. And the Kleisenberger Rebbe, he lost everything in the Holocaust. He had 11 children that perished in the Holocaust. 11 children. His wife. He survived with nobody. And he had every reason in the world to throw in the towel. Every reason in the world to give up and it's over. But he rebuilt and he continued. And he built Chassidim here in America, in Eretz Yisrael. An amazing person. Pillar of Emunah. So it was once Lel Seder. He was sitting at his Seder. And we know at the Seder we say these psukim that we should be familiar with. We say them in a bris milah as well. Va'omer lach b'damaya chayi, va'omer lach b'damaya chayi. And what do most of us think those words mean? B'damaya, everyone knows what the word dam, right? Dam, sverdeh, kinim, damaya. Va'omer lach b'damaya chayi, chayim, life, right? Through blood you will live, through blood you will live. Most explain that there were two mitzvahs that allowed us to live and to get out of Mitzrayim that were connected to blood, right? What were the mitzvahs? Dam milah and dam pesach. The blood of the bris milah and the blood of the korban pesach, that we did bris milah and we did korban pesach, and that's chus, we left Mitzrayim. In fact, Roshim explained that the blood, we mixed that blood, that was the blood that we put on the doorpost, the dam pesach and dam milah. So that's why it's repeated. Through these two damim, these two bloods, we lived. He says, maybe he wanted to suggest a new idea. He says, one understanding of damayach is dam, is blood. But another understanding of the word dam, damayach, is actually from this week's parasha, we find the death of Nadav and Avihu. And what's the response of Aaron HaKohen when his two children are killed? Vayidom Aaron. Vayidom Aaron means he was silent. It means he didn't get angry at Hashem, he didn't complain. Vayidom Aaron, he completely accepted the din emes. Not that he was happy with it, not that it was toiv, but it was emes. Vayidom Aaron. The Kleisenberger Rebbe said, after the Holocaust, maybe we could say a new pshat. You know what gives yid in life? When you can say, v'omelach b'damayachi, v'omelach b'damayachi. The first dam, why is it repeated? The first dam is the dam of difficulty, of tragedy, of blood. But when do we have life? When we could say, when we could say, vayidom. Whatever happens to us. I'm one with Hashem. And that's afafecha yashira negecha. That's the bracha to Yosef Tzadik, which we'll get to in a moment. And maybe that's now we could understand how we leave Yontiv. The bracha that the Tamidim were giving when they left their Rebbe, which is the bracha that we need as we leave Yontiv, it's one and the same, is Afafecha Yashira Negdecha. That is true. On Yontiv, our eyes are wide open. On Yontiv, it's clear. On Yontiv, it's Moyadei Hashem. Moyadei means to meet up with. I meet up with God. It's more clear. It's easier. Who's not from at their Seder? Let's be real. Who's not thinking high thoughts? Who's not trying to connect to Hashem? Baruch Hashem. We have a yontif, a Pesach. With all the mitzvahs and all the minhagim. And it's a lot easier to connect when we have special ways to connect to Hashem. The tefillos are different. That always helps us in our davening when the tefillos are different. But then we leave Pesach, and it's like when we leave any yontif and any Rebbe and any moment of inspiration, then suddenly we wake up and it's Tuesday morning or it's Wednesday morning and our eyelids shut. Our eyes no longer are seeing so clearly. So the bracha is afafecha yashir negdecha. We have to remember the bracha to Yosef Tzadik is we have to be yashir, we have to be straight. That a bas Torah, no matter what the situation is, no matter what's going on, I'm that same person. And I'm going to be close to Hashem. And I'm going to get up and I'm going to daven. And I'm going to dress bitznias. And I'm going to do the same as I do when I'm inspired, when I'm uninspired. Because afafecha yashir negdecha. I'm yashir. Yashrus. I'm straight. I'm one. That's the biggest bracha in the world. And that's what tzidkus is. That's what righteousness is. That's what a tzaddikus is. Because that's what a tzaddik is. That's what the tzidkus of Yosef tzaddik was. And if you look on the source sheet, the fourth source on the back, you have a Svas Emes. Svas Emes in Parshas Vayeshev. The pasuk says, Vayihi bebeis Adonov HaMitzri. Talking about Yosef, he was in the house of his master. And the Svas Emes says, Vayihi shom bebeis HaSoar. He was there in jail. Vayihi, what is this word? Vayihi, Vayihi. Vayihi bev Yosef Yihi. Vayihi means he was as he was. What does that mean? Hu bechinas hishtavus. Hishtavus means he was equal. He was the same. He was shove. Shelo kibol shinoi. Mikol eile makomos. Whatever situation Yosef was in. And where was Yosef? Yosef at first, he's a shepherd with his father. He's learning Torah. Then he's thrown in a pit. Then he's sold with the Arabs. Then he's in by Ashes Potiphar, being seduced by a beautiful woman with no one else around. Then he's thrown in jail. Then he's second in command. He's in, could you be in more different situations than a Yosef HaTzadik in life? More nisyonos, more trials and tribulations, all alone. But shelo kibol shinoi mikol eile makomos. He didn't change in any of those places. He was the same. That's what it means. Yosef was in Mitzrayim. We'll get to that in a moment. What he's referring to in the Rashi. Who Yosef Haroa? He's Yosef the shepherd. Who Hamelech? He's the king. Velo Nishtana. He didn't change anything about his relationship with Hashem when he was king or when he was shepherd. Vizehu Bechinas, and that's what it is to be Tzadik Yisoid Olam. That's what it is to be a Tzadik or a Tzadikis. That it doesn't matter if I'm at my Seder or Pesach. Or it's some regular day in the middle of Sfiras Omer. I'm the same. Yes, it's true. I might feel a little different and somewhat more inspired at certain times. But my service, my avoda, my connection to Hashem in my heart and my neshama is the same. L'chein ha-yehu ha-meichin l'gula. Therefore, he is the one that prepares redemption. Because that's what could bring gula. She's a ikra nisayon ha-golus. Because the biggest nisayon of golus, shelo yikabel shinoi al yidei zeh, is not to change because of golus. V'chein tzarech lios ish Yisrael liyeda. Every Jew needs to know, ulahamin, and to believe. Ki yakol bashkocha bora below b'mikra. Everything that happens in the world, every situation you're in, is ashkocha from Hashem. Everything's from the Rabbeinu Shalom. Everything's from the Eibishter. Nothing's by chance. There's nothing that's by chance. So again, Gam Kishirei Mitzrayim Bleis Asor, even when Yosef went down to Mitzrayim and he went down to jail, Yod HaShem, Shlichus HaBoris Baruch. That's the Shlichus of Hashem. That's what... Paro didn't send him to jail. Potiphar didn't send him to jail. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent him to jail. Any place Hashem wants to send a person, you have to do the shlichus of Hashem and ratzon ha-melech. Let's be real. Pesach, we just had Pesach. Some of us weren't in places we necessarily wanted to be. Some of us were. Some of us would have rather been in a lot of other places. Most of us, or all of us, would rather have been in Eretz Yisrael, let's be real, right? If not, we have to talk, so don't answer that, okay? But a lot of us didn't have a choice where we were going to be, and our parents took us to places maybe we would rather not have been. Our parents didn't take us there. The Eibishter took us there. That's shlichus of the Ribbono Shel'olam. And our avoda is to do the best I can in that situation. And be that same person that I am, where it's a little bit of a better ruchniistic environment. That's a Yosef HaTzadik Tikiyah. That's a tzadik. That's a tzadikas. That's afafecha yashira negdecha. That's what Pesach should do for us, that I could be the same person after Pesach. And because it was revealed to Hashem that Yosef didn't change at all, wasn't going to change. That's why he was the one sent to Mitzrayim first. You ever think about it? Why Yosef? Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, right? All of them. Yosef's the one who has to go and suffer and go through all this out of all the Shvatim. Why was he the one that brought about the whole Golus? Because he was the one that Hashem knew wouldn't change. And therefore he was the one that was really setting in stone and laying the foundation, ultimately, not just for the Golus, but for the Geula. Who originally Mitzrayim, he was the first Mitzrayim, Leos Hachana L'chol B'nei Yisrael, to prepare all B'nei Yisrael for ultimate Geula, so that he could build within their Koach that we shouldn't change. And that's what Rashi says in the next as well, when the Pasuk says in the beginning of Shemos, V'yikol Nefesh Yotze Yerch Yaakov Shevim Nefesh, all the individuals, all of B'nai Yisrael was 70 souls. But Yosef Hayyim Mitzrayim. Yosef was a Mitzrayim. So Rashi, yes. The next Makar. Valhu Banav Hayyim B'chlal Shivim. Part of the 70 Jews were included in that were Yosef and his children. Ma Balam Deinu. But Yosef Hayyim Mitzrayim. B'chi Aloha Yodim Shu Hayyim Mitzrayim. What the Pasuk tells us? Yo, by the way, Yosef was already Mitzrayim. We all know that. We all know the storyline. Like everyone paid attention in Bereishis, right? Everybody knew where Yosef was. Suddenly now, beginning of the show, so what we think? We took a year break? We forgot what went on at the end of Bereishis? What's going on? The Torah is pointing out, letting us know the righteousness of Yosef. Who Yosef haroet son aviv? He was Yosef that was the shepherd. Who Yosef shall you be Mitzrayim? And Yosef was Mitzrayim and asa melech made king va'omed b'tzidko. And he stood in his righteousness. Yosef hayu Mitzrayim. He's the same Yosef in Mitzrayim. And therefore, Yosef is ben parat ben Yosef ben parat aleayin, as the Chacham Sofer says, einechel enachibitu vafafecha yashira negdecha, which is that bracha that the Talmidim give when we leave a Rebbe, which is the bracha we need as we leave a Yontif. And that's why, as well, Chazal teach us Kriyas Yamsuf, the greatest of miracles of all of time. Who was the schus of Kriyas Yamsuf? The pasuk says Hayom Rav Ayanos. You all know this, right? We sing in Halal, Hayom Ram Vayanos. What does that mean? Hayom Ra, the sea saw Vayanos, and it ran away. Medrash says, what did it see that it ran away? What did it see that it split? Arono Shel Yosef, the coffin of Yosef at Tzadik. As the Pasuk says, because Yosef ran away, Vayanos Achutso by Eishes Potiphar. When Eishes Potiphar was trying to seduce him, he ran away. Vayanos, the sea also runs away. In that tzchus, because it's a tzchus of Yosef who stays the same in every situation, that brings about the Gula and brings about the miracles. And that's when we sing Shira. When we sing Tashem Shira. Shira, the same Oisio says Yashar, Yashir. Afefecha Yashiru Nagdecha. When a person could live a straight life in every situation, when our eyes are wide open or when our eyelids are closed, that's when we could sing Shira. That's when we could sing Tashem. Because that's the greatest of songs. The greatest of songs to the Ribbono Shel Olam is not when everything's amazing and awesome and beautiful and wonderful. It's when I see the Ribbono Shel Olam in my life even when my eyes are closed with my eyelids. When we reach such a level, then Yashiru, then then I can sing Shira. Then I can sing songs. And that's what we have to walk away from a Pesach with. That's how we walk into these Yemei Svira. Each and every one of us. You know, there was a very strange line we said, Lel Seder. I don't know if you paid attention, you thought about this. Let me know, even now, or after Shir, if anyone has a different pshat. But during the Dalet Banim, the four sons, before Pesach, we spoke about the Rosh, if you remember, right? So if you paid attention to the Chacham, Hopefully we did, because a lot of us are trying our best to associate with the Chacham, right? That's who we like. And a lot of Siddurim, by these parts, different parts, a lot of people, everyone has different Minhagim, but there's Siddurim, but by a lot of Siddurim, you know, you let different people, sometimes, I don't know, the father or the grandfather, someone leads the entire Seder reading everything, and sometimes there are different parts where you go around the table letting other people read. But my Seder always, by the Dal HaBanim, is one of the places we let each, you know, each of my children read a different of the Dal HaBanim, whatever it may be. So obviously, you're always hoping you're going to be the Chacham, right? You're going to be, hope, I'm the Chacham, that's who I want to be. So the Chacham comes to the Seder and he says, Ma Achukim, Va Mishpatim, Va Eidus, what are all these laws, what's going on? And what do you say to the Chacham? Very strange line. You know what you say to the Chacham? He's asking, seriously and sincerely, he wants to know about the mitzvahs, he wants to know what's going on, what are we doing? You say, Ein maftirin achara pesach afikomen. You know what you teach him? You teach him all the laws, and you teach him, by the way, after we eat the afikomen tonight, after we eat the korban pesach tonight, you're not allowed to eat anything. Oh, shkoyach. That's like, did you think about it? Let's say there, if you read your Gagada, like, he comes and says, "My, what are all these mitzvahs? What do you think he's asking? What are all these? Why do we have maror? Why do we have matzah? Why are we having Tzibis Yisrael? What's this whole night about? Teach me something, Tati." And you say, "Oh, by the way, tonight, after you have Avikomen, you can't eat anything." Wow, that's really chashuv. That's really what it's about. Like, really? Really? That's what we're telling the Chacham? Why are we saying that line to the Chacham? Anybody think about this? So I'll tell you what I think. I think the Chacham, if he's a Chacham, he knows why we have Matzah. He knows we have Mar. He knows why we have Sipur Yisrael. He's a Chacham, right? What's he really asking? So I want to suggest, you know what he's really asking? He's asking, what's this really all about? Because if I'm going to partake in this tonight, and yes, remember Mitzrayim, and remember Hashem, Vayimino B'Hashem Moshe Avdo, and get inspired tonight, but if next week I'm going to be the same person, and if in 2 weeks I'm going to be the same person, why do we do this all? Is it really worth it? It's like one big facade. We have to get together, and we have to spend thousands of dollars, and have a nice time to be the same person? So we say, Eim aftir nachar pasach afikomen. Doesn't have to be that way, my Chacham, my son, my love. Why don't we eat after the afikomen? The halacha is you're not allowed to eat anything after the afikomen, after the korban pesach, because we want the korban pesach, we want the afikomen, the taste, the tam, chanina, the tam, to be lingering in our mouths. We want to keep that taste with us. So we can't eat anything else because we'll take away the taste. So too, that's what we tell the Chacham. It doesn't have to be that way. The taste of the inspiration could be lingering with you. You could keep all this inspiration with you. We need the times when our eyes are wide open to see Hashem and to be inspired. But it could be lingering with us that we could feel just as close to Hashem in the difficult times, in times when it's not so clear. That's the Ein Maftir Pesach Avikomen. That Afafecha Yashira Negdecha. That I'm still going to feel close to Hashem in every situation. That's what the Noam Elimelech, the Heiliger of Melech, he says as well, you know, as Yashir, you know, the end of Pesach was the Shira, and as Yashir we say, Holchu b'yabasha b'soy chayom. We're all familiar with those words. Holchu b'yabasha b'soy chayom. What's literal pshat? Holchu b'yabasha. They went in the dry land, b'soy chayom, in the middle of the water. Meaning, the water split, and there were walls, and they went on dry land, right? That's how we all understand that. So Noam Elimelech says something so deep and so beautiful. Listen closely, Mamash, such a beautiful Torah. One of my favorite Torahs from Noam Elimelech. The Rebbe Reb Melech, he says, when we were in the Yam Suf, it was Mamash, so clear to every single Jew, that he's Mamash walking with the Ribbono Shel Olam every moment. How could you deny the existence of God in your life when you're walking through a sea? Forget about all the medrashim of the food in the walls and the different types of how it was broken up and all the amazing medrashim of all the spectacular miracles. Just think about walking through a sea. Gilui Shechina. Medrash says even the lowest of people had nevuah on the highest of levels. It was like the highest level of prophecy. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us, Holchu b'yabasha b'soy chayam. The Noam Elimelech says, you know what that means? The chizik should be that holchu b'yabasha, that when you get and you walk on the dry land, B'so chayam, it should be as if you're still in the sea. Kadosh Baruch Hu took us through the sea and inspired us and allowed us to see Him so clearly. But He wants, and the tzidkus, anyone's going to be close to Hashem in the sea. A tzaddik is someone who holchu b'yabasha, who will walk on the dry land, b'so chayam, as if he's still in the sea, as if she's still in the sea. Afafecha yashira negdecha, even when the eyelids are closed. I read a story over Pesach. It was in one of the Agadas, one of the Rav Yechiel Spiro's Agadas. Appropriate also for today, for Yom HaShoah. There was a man, his name was Henry. And Henry one day went into his rabbi that he was very close to for many years and said, "Rabbi, I'm going to die soon." The rabbi was very taken aback. He says, "Henry, what do you mean? Did you have some diagnosis? Did you go to the doctor?" No, I'm healthy, I'm good. He says, "What do you mean you're going to die soon? You're not going to die soon, you're good." "No, I just feel it, I know I'm going to die soon. Don't worry, Rabbi, I just feel it. So I have a request, I want to make a request. I know the custom is generally when one dies to be buried in burial shrouds and tachrichin. I want to request that I could be buried in my prisoner uniform from the Holocaust, from the concentration camp." The Rabbi says, "Don't worry, Henry, you're not dying anytime soon. We don't need to talk about it." "No, Rabbi, I want to explain. When I was in the concentration camp for 3 years, I wasn't able to keep Shabbos. And for 3 years, I wasn't able to put on tefillin. And for 3 years, I wasn't able to keep kosher. And when I get up to Shemayim, I want to have an answer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu of why not. So I want him to see me in the prisoner uniform. So I won't be held accountable for that." And the rabbi says, "Listen, Henry, thank you for the request. We're not talking about this now. You're healthy. I don't want to even talk about it. Okay, don't forget my request." 3 weeks later, Henry, healthy as could be, goes to sleep one night, doesn't wake up in the morning. He's nifter. Imamish knew it, I don't know. He fell, Imamish was nifter in his sleep, Mises Nashika. It's very sad for the family. And the rabbi obviously immediately remembers the request. Before he starts to figure out halachically what's appropriate, he decides he's going to discuss it with the family. So he brings in all of Henry's children, 4 or 5 children, to discuss it with his children. And he tells the children, the father's request, he wants to hear what the children have to say about it before he makes any decision. And all the children immediately, "No, we can't fulfill such a request. We have to keep the prisoner's uniform." And the rabbi is very taken aback. He thought for sure his children would very much want their father's last request, that they want to go against the father's request. He says, "What do you mean? Why?" He says, "Rabbi, let us tell you something. You know, every Leil Seder, our entire family gets together to have Seder. All of our father's children, all of us, all of our children, our grandchildren already. And we live all over the place. For the past many years, it's been very hard. It's not something easier. It would have been much easier to have our own tzedarim and not get together and not make sure that we could all be together. But you know what? We do it. Because every Leil Seder and our Seder, by Manishtana, after everybody says the Manishtana, all the children, my father would leave the table. And he'd go up to his room and he'd go into his closet. And he'd take this prisoner uniform out of the plastic and he'd bring it down to the Seder table. And he'd hang it from the chandelier. And he'd look at everybody with his prisoner uniform hanging in the room. He'd say to every one of his children, every one of his grandchildren, every one of his great-grandchildren, 'Avadim hayinu leparo b'Germania.' We were slaves to Hitler b'Germania." I'm sorry. "Avadim hayinu leHitler b'Germania. We were slaves to Hitler in Germany. V'Hashem hotzienu misham. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of there. And each and every one of us has to be thankful to the Eibishter, to the Rabbonu Shalom, that he saved my life. And he was zoiche to such a family." And his children looked at the rabbi and said, "Rabbi, you don't understand what chizik and emunah, hearing from our father, that was for every one of us, every one of our children. But we know what our father went through and was able to say that. We need that uniform as chizik for us." says at the end of the story, they ended up deciding, I'm not going to get into halacha of it, to bury Henry in tachrichin, in regular burial clothing, but to put the prisoner's uniform in the aron with him. Whatever the psak was. But I read this story, and it's a heart-wrenching story. But the part that really took to me was how this man, Henry, went through Gehenna Al Eretz. And had every reason and every excuse in the world that obviously why he wasn't Shomer Torah Mitzvahs during that time, right? And why he wasn't keeping Shabbos and wasn't able to keep kosher and wasn't able to... But you see, till his dying day, it bothered him. That he had the unwavering emunah, that he wanted to fulfill God's will even in the darkest of times, and it bothered him that he couldn't. Because he understood that a Yid has to serve Hashem through thick and thin, no matter what is going on in our life, whether it's so clear or it's so covered. And he needed to show the Rabbanu Shalom why he couldn't. Afafecha yashiru negdecha. It's each and every one of us. Yes, there are times in our life when our eyes are wide open, and things are great, and it's so clear, and we're close to Hashem, and we feel good, and it's easy to serve Hashem. And we go through Yontif, and that's Yontif. Kimifterei Rabbana mibei Rav Ami mibei Rav Chanina. When we leave Eilu Moedei Hashem, when we leave Chanina, when we leave Yontif, when we leave that time and things are a little bit dark and things are not so clear and days are a little bit difficult for us, Afafecha Yashiru Negdecha. Let's make sure that even when our eyelids are covering those eyes, we're still seeing Yashir straight, we're still close to Hashem. And that's how we allow all the Chizuk of Pesach to be lingering with us during these Yemei Svira. And that's how we continue to build in our relationship with Hashem until we're zoicha to the ultimate geula with Mashiach Tzidkenu b'mheiru b'yameinu b'ezer Hashem Yisbarach.